let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. Now, Father, help my mouth and the congregation's ears in getting your word through to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we all say amen. Amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6. Everybody has it, right? I'm coming from the New American Standard Version. And I'm starting with the first verse. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, that's going to be important. Behold, now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Some translations say too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. Amen? Amen. All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to see what God's going to do with this word. The setting of our sermon text is during the time when God's chosen people were divided. They were divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. This particular event takes place in Israel during the kingdom's decline. Our sermon text follows the account of the healing of General Naaman, who at the prophet Elisha's instructions dipped 7 times into the Jordan River to be cured of leprosy. And our event precedes Elijah's miraculous capture of an Aramean army. Sandwiched in between these two events in the written history of Israel, our text focuses on a group called the sons of the prophet, or some translations, the company or school of the prophets. Not much is recorded about this group. They were apparently a community of anointed men of God under the leadership of great prophets like Samuel, Elisha, who is also in our text. This particular company of prophets are addressing the prophet of Israel, Elisha, a former farmer himself, an apprentice of a God-ordained and God-ordained successor of another great prophet, Elijah. Told y'all it'd be important. The miracles performed through Elijah were truly legendary. And when he is taken up to the Lord, Elisha, who received a double anointing of Elijah's spirit, went on to perform at least twice as many miracles as his mentor. This community of the prophets, what they did was they approached Elisha. And they approached him about making the move. This morning, Abundant Life, I bring you a word that says, it's time to move. Tell your neighbor, it's time to move. The sons of the prophet, or a company of the prophets, told Elisha the place where they were was too small for them. They recognized that where they were was no longer adequate. So the first thing we see in the text is that what we need to do if we are going to make a move is that we need to realize the need for a change. What was once sufficient in time became inadequate. What was once enough was now lacking. What for a time fit eventually became tight. One translation says that the place was too limited for them. And you know that God's people, we can't be limited. If you are going to do God's work, you can't be limited. You can't be constrained. The sons of the prophet are credited with recognizing this new condition in their lives. But unfortunately, the need for a change often isn't obvious to all. The eyes of some are blinded. The minds are sometimes distracted. Sometimes we are distracted by the enemy. Sometimes it's by adversity. And sometimes we're distracted by appetites of our flesh. But we must not allow our minds to be distracted from the change God is constantly calling us to. If you're going to recognize when God is doing a new thing, then the word says you must be transformed by a renewing of your mind, sometimes your blinded mind. Jesus gave the analogy that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. We can apply that to say that you can't put new thinking into old mindsets. And something I've become personally aware of is the concept of a growth mindset. A growth mindset is the opposite of a fixed mindset, which is rigid and stiff and difficult to change. A growth mindset is adaptable, it's expandable, it's teachable, it's pliable. And while we're on the subject of a growth mindset, many of us have indeed outgrown some things. I mean, maybe you have grown some places. Maybe you have outgrown some people. Maybe you have outgrown some relationships. Maybe you've outgrown some jobs. Maybe you've outgrown some habits. Maybe you outgrown some thinking. And like all things we outgrow, it's time to get rid of them. And when you've outgrown where you are, guess what? It's time to move. So how do you know when something needs to go? You ask yourself some questions. Does where you now are, does it constrain you? Does where you now are, does it seem uncomfortable? Does where you now are no longer challenge you? If the answer to one or more of these questions is yes, that's probably when you know that, like the sons of the prophet, it's time to move. So after the sons of the prophet first recognized the need for a change, they second recognized there's a better place. The text says that the sons of the prophet asked Elijah if they could relocate to the Jordan River, realizing that they couldn't remain where they were. They already searched out and find where they could go. They found a better place. Sometimes we know we have to go, but guess what? We don't know where to go. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the word of the Lord came to a prophet Elisha's master, Elijah. The prophet Elijah was told, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." Later in verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. This time it said, "Arise, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow to provide for you there." And we don't have time, but many of us know the rest of the story of the miracles that took place with Elijah, with the ravens at the brook, and with the widow at Zarephath. Let me pause for a moment and talk to you about a place called there. If we have the ability, like the sons of the prophet in our sermon text, to recognize that there's a better place, the next thing we need to know is where that place is. Allow me to suggest that that place is always there. But where is there? There is like the prophet Elijah would testify. It's simply the place where God tells you to go. Your better place is always where your Father who knows best tells you where to go. The word says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And oftentimes we need to slow down and wait for the ordering of our steps. Oftentimes, we need to exercise patience and wait for further instructions. Yes, waiting for the ordering of our steps will always bring us to a place called there. This can serve as a transition to the third thing the sons of the prophet did, which is they requested leadership. In the third verse of our text, we are told that one of the prophets asked Elisha, to go with them on their move. If you're going to make a move, then understand you're going to need the right leadership. And if the people of God are going to make a move, they need to be led by the Lord. In the wilderness, the children of Israel were led out of Egypt into the land of the promise by the Lord. At one point, Moses asked God, who will go with them? To which God said, my presence will go with you. The presence of the Lord brought the Israelites from slavery to freedom, from lack to abundance, from the land of oppression to the land of promise. Moses, like the sons of the prophet, requested leadership, someone to go with them when it was time to move. You don't always have to follow anybody, but you will always follow somebody. But the question is that somebody the right somebody? Whose leading are you following? It said in the book of Romans that we are not those who walk or are led by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are truly indeed sons of God. That is why I ask, whose leading are you following when it's time to move? After the sons of the prophet requested leadership, the fourth thing they did was they relegated themselves to work. In verse 4 of our text, it says, when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. You've heard the saying, put your hand to the plow. Well, these sons put their axe to the tree. They realized that wherever they were going, it was going to take an effort to build a new home. Generations before, when the Israelites first moved into the promised land, it's recorded that they had to fight to take the land. Yes, God said over and over, this is the land which I am bringing you into. But on the same hand, he made their responsibility to fight for it. But the fight was the fight in the strength of his might. Jesus said, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. It's worth your effort. It's worth your struggle. It's worth your sweat. And it's worth your sacrifice. And when it's time to move to get to a place where you are going, know it's going to take some work. If you want a better relationship, it's going to take some work. If you want to start a business, it's going to take some work. If you want to get that degree, it's going to take some work. If you want to improve your health, it's going to take some work. If you want a new home, it's going to take some work. And if you want to accomplish anything for the Lord, most surely it's going to take some work. Some work is required on our part in addition to the work on God's part. Paul said that we are co-laborers with God. He said we are his fellow workers. If we are servants, then we need to serve. If we are laborers, then we need to labor. If we are warriors, then we need to war. And if we are workers, then guess what? We need to work. And we need to work when it's time to move. Let's recount the steps that the sons of the prophet made when it was time to move. One, they realized the need for change. Two, they recognized the better place. Three, they requested leadership. Four, they relegated themselves to work. And last, they recovered from their setbacks. The final three verses of our sermon text describes an incident that took place as the sons of the prophets were constructing their new home by the Jordan River. One of the prophets was chopping down a tree and the axe head fell into the river and sunk to the bottom. How many of you know that in a construction project, it's not good for any tools to be lost? I mean, they had work to do and they were making good progress. They were moving full steam ahead, and then all of a sudden, this setback comes. To further complicate things, he said the axe head was loaned. So they couldn't just write it off. They needed to get the axe head back, and they did get back to work. They needed recovery. They needed recovery if they were going to get back to the progress they were making before. Don't you hate it when you're in your zone? Everything's moving well. You're getting it done. You're making good time. And bam, something happens that throws you off track. Some interruption that comes into your world and throws you off your game. What you need then, what, is a recovery. You need to get back on track. You need to get back on the path the Lord has set before you so that you continue your journey to that better place called there. Unfortunately, many of us can attest to the fact that in life there will always be setbacks. Church, even when you are working for Jesus, obstacles will emerge and attempt to move you off your path. What the sons of a prophet did is what we should do also when they experience any inevitable setback. That is, they sought help from the master. It reads that the prophet who dropped the axe, he immediately cried out, but he didn't cry out to just anyone. He cried out to the master prophet, Elijah. When an issue occurred, he didn't just give up. He didn't just quit. He didn't just talk to his friends about it. He took his problem to the best one who could solve the problem. See, sometimes we give up too soon. Sometimes we are on the brink of our breakthrough. Sometimes we're just around the corner from our miracle. And unfortunately, many lose heart. Many give up. They abandon the faith that they need to get them to their promise. The fact is that the promises of God are only obtained by faith. And faith must remain until those promises are fulfilled. There's an old saying in the church that anything God brings you to, he will bring you through. When you encounter a setback and are feeling discouraged, know that, as the old hymn says, God has not brought you this far to leave you. It may look bleak. It may look like all hope is lost. You may be just tired of things going wrong, but that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to throw in the towel. That's the time to cast your cares on the master. That's the time to bring your problems to his hand and lead them there. The word said, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares if you get to the place where he is taking you. So he will not let you fail. If you keep your faith in his ability to bring you through this thing or anything when it's time to move. I'm going to bring this to a close for all y'all. It's like the sons of the prophet, we know they knew it was time to move. We know it's time to move. We've realized the need for a change. We've recognized there's a better place. We've requested the leadership. We've relegated ourselves to work. And we're ready to recover from any setback. Church, we have a place to go. We have a shepherd under God to lead us. We're ready to work. And we're confident we'll recover from any setback. Yes. With these things in place, no church, it's time to move. Ready or not, it's time to move. The sons of the prophet told Elijah that this place is too limited for us. Sometimes the place that you are is too limited for what God has planned for you. And once you understand his plan, once you understand your purpose, you must make up in your mind that it's time to move. Everyone can't go with you because where you are may be too small for you, but where you're going may be too big for them. They may be scared. They may be content. They may be lazy. And if they are any of those things, guess what? They may be left behind. Guess not everyone can go with you, but sorry, it's time to move. The move may not be easy. Yes, it won't necessarily be a smooth ride. But brace yourselves for the bumps. Just bandage up your bruises and hold on tight to the master's unchanging hand. Because no matter how rough the road, we can't remain where we are. Church, it's time to move. Some won't be willing to put in the work. But it's time to move. Yes, some don't see this as a worthy priority, but it's time to move. Some don't think it's worth the sacrifice, but it's time to move. And yes, some do put in the work. And guess what? Some do make the priority. And some do make the sacrifice. Why? Because they caught the revelation that it's time to move. Abundant Life, are you ready to move? Are you ready to go where God is taking us? Are you ready to put in the work? Are you ready to make the sacrifice? Have you made it a priority? I'm just going to ask you, are you ready to move? Amen. Amen. I think this church is on the move. The seeds of this, it's funny how God puts messages together. The seeds of this was planted back in our revival when Pastor Clark preached. He preached from that same text. He saw one thing. God dropped on me something different. And he dropped on the message, it's time to move. Pastor's been saying it. It's time to move. And this church needs to get on board that we're going someplace. And some people might get left behind. But we need to make up in our minds, it's time to move. Amen?
Amen.
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 Now, the doors of the church are open. Because many people are saved. They made the move. And now I'm asking for somebody who wants to move from death to life. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to move. Tomorrow is not promised. The sons of the prophet came to Elijah and said, we're moving. And they didn't waste any time. We don't have time to waste here on this earth at this time. It's time to make the move, like I said, from death to life. And we have that opportunity in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is make a decision. Is there anybody here who's made the decision? It's time for me to move. It's time for me to make a salvation move. It's time for me to make a salvation move. If you were to die tomorrow, do you know where you would wake up? Have you made the move? Are you making the move?
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Two young sisters
Hallelujah.
Making the move. Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Smile, you're making the move. You're making a good move. Amen. Sister, you making the move?
Yes.
For salvation. Amen. 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 Is there anyone else who wants to make the move? Is there anyone else who said, I'm tired of being where I am? You know what we say. We're tired of being sick and tired. We're tired of wavering back and forth. Can you make up your mind today to make the move? Amen. 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 The next one is, do you have a church home? Do you have a church home? They were moving because they needed a new home. Some of us don't have a first home. There's a lot of homeless Christians out there. They say, not do you have a place where you're going, but do you have a place where you're growing? Do you have a family to come around you? Do you have a family to help you when you're making moves in your life? When you're trying to get things done? When you're trying to make the change that you need to make? Do you have a family that supports? I just told you, my family prays for me. I'm talking about my church family. You know, they encourage me with words. You know, if things are going bad, they're there for me. The question is, do you have that? Do you have a home? Do you have a home? If you don't have a home, it's time to make a move this morning. And we offer Abundant Life. It's a great home. It's a great search. Serving a great God. Committed to his great commandment to carry out his great commission. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Before you go to your next call, I want to introduce these persons and then ask one of our deacons to take them out. They have all come either for salvation, praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Three for salvation, Amen. Praise the Lord. And one for rededication. So we thank God that they were willing to come this morning. The first two, if they give their name, is daughters, adopted.